I have started promoting on Pinterest. And I tell you, my downloads, like there was one day I was like, why are my downloads so high? That's awesome. And it was all because of Pinterest. And so while Instagram, I think, will always be a great media marketing form, Pinterest is like this untapped Google image search, pretty much. And you can really hone in on what people are looking for. So that's been a new way that I've marketed, and it's been great.
That's just one of the many marketing secrets Anna Keenan shares with us on this week's episode. Anna Keenan is the host of the Must Listen To podcast, Self-Made Sister. She's also the marketing and philanthropic manager for Kendra Scott, and she has so many wonderful insights to share with you today. Welcome to Podcast Coaching with Christine. Here we talk about how to grow your podcast using industry insights and broadcasting strategies. Hello and welcome to the show. On this week's episode, we talk with one of my first coaching clients ever, and she is an amazing podcaster. Her podcast is so great. If you aren't listening to it, you should. It's called Self-Made Sister, and it is motivational. It is empowering. And I am so, so glad that Anna put this out into the world. And she has made a real name for herself. On this episode, she shares her testimony of her experience, and she talks about how she finds the time to create her podcast in the midst of her busy schedule. She's also a mom of two guys. And most importantly, Anna talks about podcast marketing insights that will help you promote your podcast as well. But before we dive into it, I want to take a moment for this week's review of the week. This week's review of the week comes from George Igo, and he sends it in on Instagram, and he says, Steve has the voice of an angel. And this is in response to our episode with Steve Cooge, my husband, and he shares how to improve your voice for podcasting. And that was episode 26, if you guys would like to go check that out. So without further ado, let's send it on over to the interview. Everyone, I'm so excited to introduce you to Anna. Anna Keenan is the host of Self-Made Sister, one of my favorite podcasts. She is also the regional marketing manager and philanthropic manager for Kendra Scott, the jewelry company. Each week, Anna chats with an incredible woman about her journey to success, from entrepreneurs and CEOs to influencers and philanthropists. All of these ladies started with an idea, a goal, and a hope, and turned it into their reality. They truly make success feel realistic and attainable, and will leave you wanting to become your own self-made sister. It's an awesome show, Anna.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It is a show aside, just the women that I've met that I would have never met otherwise is probably like the most priceless piece of the show. It's just kind of come through the segue of a podcast, but it's been such an amazing relationship builder. I mean, with just networking, and it's honestly, it's hard to put into words, like how grateful I am for the podcast and who it's led me to meet.
And I think that is one of the most incredible things about podcasts in general, and is something that should not be overlooked. It's my favorite thing about this industry. And also, I do want to mention that Anna is actually one of my first coaching clients.
Yes. My podcast would not have happened without you. It would have just sat in my brain and on my heart as a dream and never would have actually come to fruition, because I did not know where to plug my mic in to a laptop. So had it not been for you, this would have never happened.
Well, thank you for saying that, but also without you, it wouldn't have happened either. So, and it wouldn't continue to be growing and be such a success and be like such an inspiration to women like me. And
oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's just so wonderful to hear all of these women's journeys in a way that just is so relatable. And hearing about the relationships that you're creating with these women is just kind of so inspiring to me. And so it's one of my favorite things in this industry. And also as a female entrepreneur, I have met so many amazing women who just like keep being like, oh, hey, do you want to come up here with me? Like, here you go.
Yes. I think that's the biggest misconception. I know we'll get into this about like just the podcasting journey in itself, but I think that was my biggest misconception, and I many women's, that they're scared to reach out because they're afraid that other women are going to be like, no, I don't have time for you. You don't have enough followers. You don't have enough downloads. You don't have enough, you know, purchases, whatever that may be. I think put this narrative in our head that women aren't there to help other women succeed. And it's the complete opposite.
I really do want to dive into your specialty, which is marketing. And you have done so many amazing things. Like I watch your Instagram and I'm like, whoa, where did she come up with that idea? She's brilliant. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I just love all of the things that you're doing. But before we dive in to maybe what some other people can learn from you when it comes to how to market their podcast, I'd love if we could start talking about your podcasting journey and how this idea was born in your head and what it took for you to birth it.
Yeah, for real. It is like a baby. I will say that. I mean, it really has been something that I've nurtured, have had bad days. I've had days where I just don't want to like do anything else with it. I'm like, what am I doing? I think a lot of that goes into being a new mom too. So really the idea sparked from my career, working for Kendra Scott. I've been there almost 6 years now. And so being part of a brand that went from kind of a no-name brand that many people didn't know. When I started, we had, I think, 23 stores. My final interview was with Kendra. So it was very like mom and pop, very small, very startup still compared to what we're at today. And now we're at 110 stores. We're global. We've just grown the company to $1 million brand. So to be part of a brand that's grown in that way and being led by a female entrepreneur that started with an idea and $500 is just inspiring in itself. And however, I love Kendra's story. I'm obviously passionate about what she's built in this company, but there's not everyone's going to be Kendra, right? Not everyone's going to grow their brand to $1 million brand. And while I love those stories, it also kind of feels very like unrealistic and I can't really relate to that. However, like the mom that's doing it at night or the, you know, we were talking about Shantae Lowe, the Olympian who's, you know, was training for Tokyo while battling breast cancer, or just all of the women's stories that where you're like, I could do that. Like, I just want to hopefully inspire other women to follow their dreams by sharing how these women have followed theirs. So really the idea sparked from my career, but then I kind of turned it into like, well, what would I want out of a podcast? Who would I want to meet? I want the everyday girl turning her dream into a reality. And how is she doing that? What were those steps that she took to break it down and make it feel a little bit more attainable? That's where the idea started. Now I sat on that idea for a while because I was like, again, don't know how to, what is a podcast? How do I listen to podcasts, but I didn't know how you get the icon on the Apple screen. I didn't know how to hit record. I'm about the least tech savvy person there is. Anyone I told originally before I had actually turned it into an idea, people laughed at me. They were like, you a podcast host? Like, love you, but no. So again, it's kind of like, well, if you have an idea and a dream, like there's really nothing you can't do to make it a reality. But I think a big step is asking for help because I wouldn't have been able to figure it out on my own or figured out how to get a little icon on the Apple Podcast app without you.
But you did.
I did figure it out. I did. I was, even though like my husband was like, I love you, honey, but I do not think that a podcast, really? You're a podcast host? Like, I'm like, I know it sounds crazy. Like, and then, you know, I get my mic in and I'm like, I don't even know if this is the right microphone. I don't even know, where do you record? I don't even know where to plug it into a laptop. Like all of these things that I was just so dumb to. And now it's like, I look at it today and it's like, I edit my own episodes and while they're not perfect or great, like the fact that I edit my own episodes is weird and something I would have never thought that I could have done before. So if there's a will, there's a way, right?
Yes. And you can find a way. And and we worked with each other a little bit when it comes to like learning just some of those like basic skills when it comes to editing. Mm-hmm. But and like some of the tech stuff. And do you feel like that was the stuff that was holding you back the most?
That's a great question. I think, yes, some of that. I think I was confident in my idea and I was confident in the fact that my personal curiosity, like I was just more nosy than anything else because I wanted to know these women's stories. And I was like, I don't even know who these women are. I don't even know who'd be on my show, but I know I want to listen to their stories. And so I was confident in that. It was just making it all or bringing it all to fruition. Like, how do I connect all these dots? So that was intimidating. And then also putting yourself out there in a way that is uncomfortable. Like people know me as working for Kendra Scott. People know me as a mom. People know me as a friend, but like a podcaster, like, you know, you definitely get those like naysayers. And I had some of those situations in the beginning. They actually, you know, motivated me more by that. But you know, you kind of think like, well, who do I think I am? I'm not a podcaster. I'm not going to be a podcast host. Like who's going to say yes? You know, no one's going to want to be on my show. I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to show. So I think that's really kind of what held me back. But I will say when I typed up an Instagram post, because I launched my episode or my podcast on October 17th of last year. And I did not hit post on that announcement of my podcast for 2 weeks because I was so nervous to put it out there. Because once you put it in the universe, people watch and people are going to like hold you accountable. So yeah, I think it was more of a confidence thing too of like whether or not I could do it and do it well and also do these women's stories justice, I think. But there's power in the story. And that was what kept me going.
And I do want to also share that Anna is an amazing interviewer.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah, it's true. When you listen to her show and you hear her connecting with the women who she's talking to, it's so easy. And I just feel like I'm like one of your friends in the room with you, hanging out, like while we're all just chatting together and I'm just mostly listening. If I respond, you can't hear it, but it is. You are a fantastic interviewer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think some people are this naturally and they don't know it until they try these different things out and they kind of push themselves into a new place. And I think sometimes, I don't know if you ever feel this way, Anna, people might feel stagnant in their careers or like in their lives or like they're craving more. They just don't know why they feel like kind of like stuck. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I hear people talking about this. I know I felt like this before. But when you take the time to like practice a new skill, like podcasting, it might be a business choice. It might be a hobby. It might be something else. You're just like, I want to just give this a try and see how it goes for me. But there's something really fulfilling about learning a new skill and then putting it into practice and then like figuring out what it gives you back.
1,000%. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely a creative outlet for me. That was kind of one of those things where I didn't have a roadmap per se of where I wanted it to go. It's really kind of grown organically over the last year. But what it's given to me in return in terms of like being creative and thinking outside the box and how else, you know, what other arms of the podcast is there? How else can I support women that want to connect with other self-made sisters? That I did not anticipate that at all. I did not anticipate that it actually provided me like so many like just warm and fuzzies in the end. It's more than an interview. It's a connection that I've created with these women that I am so grateful for.
When do you feel it was that you actually achieved success with your podcast? I feel like this means something different for everybody.
With the podcast, I think initially I was like, what is success? What is success with a podcast? Is it downloads? Is it listeners? Is it monetizing it? And I think all of that comes in time. And I think that it also, you know, it's not overnight. right? Like, I mean, you cannot, one thing I have learned through this podcast and through interviewing all of these women is that you cannot compare your day one to someone else's day 1001. You have to go through the early stages. You have to go through the early days. You've got to really look at success equaling growth. And that's really what I've looked at, like, how have I grown this? How have I been able to maybe connect with two new people every day? Two sounds like minimal, but it actually then those two then connect to other two and it grows. So I would definitely not call this a success, but it's grown. I feel like it's got a lot of potential to grow. But I still don't know what that is yet. Coming from a marketing background, I'm used to having a strategy, a 3-month strategy, a 6-month strategy. And I think just with 2020 in general, everyone's strategy has gone out the window. And there's something a little like overwhelming it with that, but also something that's really just like grassroots with that too. Like where it's like, I don't really have a strategy with where this looks a year from now. I have an idea, but like, let's see where this takes us. And that's kind of how I'm navigating it.
What are some of the things that you're most proud of that have come out of the podcast in your 1-year journey?
I am just proud due to the responses that I receive from people I don't know. I mean, you know, when I first started, I was like, if I can get 100 followers and 100 downloads, that would be awesome. Right? Like that would be so cool. Like to have 100 people that I didn't know me or 100 downloads of people listening to a story. And, you know, you hit that goal and then you kind of go to your next goal. And I think the relationships that I have formed with both my guests and sharing their story and just the feedback. I mean, I'm so proud of that. Like there has been stories where women are like, I've never shared that before, or I've never actually gone back to like rewind my journey. Like, damn, I'm proud of myself. Like, you know, it's like to see them like talk through their story and also have these light bulb moments of like how far they've come and be thankful that like this has given them a platform to share that story has made me proud. And then too, like connecting the relationships amongst my guests, like introducing each other, like some relationships have formed from guests on my show, which is great too. So I'm proud of a lot of it, but I would definitely say I'm proud of putting myself out there the way that I have, which is kind of uncomfortable for me. And then just the women I've met, like I will forever be grateful that they trusted me to share their story in a way that they're proud of as well.
So what would you say has been your biggest struggle through all of this?
Oh, yeah, pick your day.
I mean, you're a mom.
Yeah.
You've got two kiddos. We were like hit with the pandemic. There's so much going on and you are still podcasting throughout it and things are happening and things are picking up and moving in a positive direction.
I think just like, again, kind of goes back to the beginning, but like connecting the dots of like how all this works, like how does a podcast work? How do you market a podcast? How do I get people to listen to my podcast? And I think I was overthinking it too much that I kind of was just like, I then went maybe the opposite away and was just like, you know what? I'm just going to be my authentic self through Instagram, through my episodes. And I feel like people will find me, you know, with the help of my guests and them promoting it as well. But I think I just needed it. I struggled with it wanting to be perfect from the beginning, and there is no perfection. You know, I look back now, even a year ago, and what I was doing then compared to what I'm doing now, like it's just evolved and changed, but it's going to continue to evolve and change. So I've struggled with content. I've struggled with what am I actually giving followers or listeners, and struggled with making sure that like I am again doing my guest stories like the utmost respect, like sharing it in the best way, marketing them in the best way, making sure people connect with their story in the best way possible. So I think I'm a little hard on myself in that way, but also too, I want it to be perfect, but I know that's not really a thing. I've got to remind myself of that. There is no perfect.
I have to remind myself of that too, because sometimes I just really mess stuff up and I'm like, how did this happen?
how did I do such a bad job at this? And it's really me just like beating myself up like so hard. Then like someone else will listen to it and be like, what? And I'm like, but no, it's really bad.
I realized in editing my episode this week that my mic was not plugged all the way in. And so it's just normal me talking to a laptop. And like, I can completely tell the tone quality difference, you know, with me on a mic versus not. And I was just mortified. I mean, the episode is great and I'm sure no one can like hear it. I can, but I didn't plug my mic in all the way. Like, what an amateur move.
I've been there.
But, you know, it's fine. I mean, I still think the episode is great. And I'm sure I said something to my husband. I was like, can you hear that? And he's like, hear what? No, it sounds great. I'm like, no, it doesn't. It does not sound great. And he's like, it sounds complete. It sounds like all your others. I'm like, no, don't say that.
I know. Once you start doing it and start editing it, you pick up on these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So something you've mentioned, and I would love to kind of like dig into this for listeners, is marketing, because mm-hmm. you've got this amazing marketing background. And I remember when we were working together, you would also, I don't know if you remember, like you would share it with me in your conversation with me. And I'm like, okay, so she's very deadline oriented, 30 days, 60 days. Like, so if you could break down what that means when it comes to creating a marketing plan, and if you have any tips for people who are looking for unique ways to start marketing their podcast.
Yeah. A year ago, I was so deadline oriented. It's so funny to think that now, because a year ago, I was like, in 30 days, I have to have this done. And then in 60 days, and then my launch day, I'm going to do this. Whereas now it's like, well, as long as it's done by the end of the year, right? Who knows what will happen? I don't know what next week will bring, but I will say that holding myself accountable to a deadline or to a launch date was very important to me, because had I not, I think I would have continued to push it out to make sure it was quote unquote perfect. So really holding myself accountable to, I am launching this. I launched it on my 36th birthday, and it was, you know, finding that special date or something that's like meaningful to you, to where you have to like have it done by that date. And in terms of marketing, you know, it goes back to like, well, why would someone want to listen? Why would someone want to follow me? And so you need to give them something that's like meaningful, right? Whether it's a quote, whether it's something silly, whether it's something just of benefit, but it's kind of still tying it back to my brand of Self-Made Sister. Who is she? What is she? What is she looking for? And then as far as promotion, I mean, I will say, this is so weird, but I have started promoting on Pinterest. I have this whole new system that I actually got from my best girlfriend, Renee. She did 5 posts a day, like on Pinterest. And like, that's how she's grown her business. And I've started doing that. And I tell you, my downloads, like there was one day I was like, why are my downloads so high? That's awesome. And it was all because of it all went back to Pinterest. And so while Instagram, I think, will always be a great media marketing form, Pinterest is like this untapped Google image search, pretty much. And you can really hone in on what people are looking for. So that's been a new way that I've marketed, and it's been great. And then, you know, don't be afraid to ask people to help share. Everyone's usually going to say yes. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't, unless they like are really snooty or not nice. I don't know. I just have asked people, I'm like, hey, do you mind sharing my podcast? And like, I'd love to. Oh my God, that's so great. Or I'll do some like days where I buy people coffee. And then that always seems to like be like a feel good moment. So just, I guess, being creative and like, think about where your listener is. Think about who you're trying to target. Where is he or she? What are they doing? Where would you find them? And try to get your podcast or whatever you're selling to them in that realm. If that makes sense. It sounds so much easier than what it is, though.
So time, right? I think that is actually something so many people struggle with, is like, how am I going to have the time to do this, because creating a podcast, making time for recordings and making time for editing and making time to publish your episodes and proofread your copy and then create social media assets and then schedule them to go out into the world. Where do you find the time, Anna?
Oh, man. Some weeks are better than others, for sure. Sunday nights have always been my like podcast time. So that's the night where my husband puts the kids to bed right after dinner. I'm podcast mom. I also do a lot of my interviews, usually at the end of the day over a glass of wine. I love for it to be a chat. I love for it to be an easy conversation. So it's like, pour yourself a glass of wine. Let's chat. And it's not really an interview. It's just kind of like, I want to learn more about you and your story. So every week is so different. Like this week I have one interview, next week I have four. So next week it's going to be a little crazier, but I have control over what that looks like. So that's nice. Right. If I know I have a busy week with work or with the kids, I kind of schedule myself out a little bit more for interviews. But I think that's, while it is a lot, it's also what's great about podcasting. It's like you can fit it in. If you're passionate about it, you can find the time. That's one thing I've learned too, that I was spending a lot of frivolous time either scrolling on Instagram or watching Real Housewives. So I've replaced that time with my podcast and it's so much more productive. I give myself a limit on Instagram every day of 45 minutes. You can set limits on your Instagram. One of my guests told me that, and I do it. And when it's done, it's done. So that's kind of nice. And it's just kind of, yeah, there's days where I don't do anything with my podcast, and there's days where I do a ton with it. It's not consistent. I'll say that, but that's life, right?
I really am schedule oriented, but now my schedule, and I love a routine, but now it's all kind of like, woo. And so it's all like weekly. I have a weekly to-do list instead of a daily to-do list. So my goal is to do this within the week and that's it. And that actually has helped me to manage my life a little bit more, is to just make a weekly to-do.
Yeah. 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 This year has been like, I think for everyone, it's just, it has looked different. Now, a year ago, I scheduled and planned my days much differently, but this year it is going to be different. And so you have to pivot and change and adapt, but it's still a priority. So if it's still a priority, how do I, you know, devote the time to it? But you have to do what's best for you and for your schedule. I'm just thankful that my husband is very supportive of the podcast and gives me my mommy podcast time. That's my kids call it. Or my daughter calls it the potty cast. but you know, that's, I hope that they're inspired too by what I'm doing. I almost kind of want them to start their own little podcast, a little kid podcast.
Aww. By the way, just for those who are interested in what's going on with trends, podcasts for kids are a new trend. So yeah, parents are looking for podcasts to entertain their children. And something that I learned this, I think it was just like a week ago. So they have the upfronts, the podcasting upfronts, where podcast networks come forward and they pitch their show, like what their year of production looks like, to advertisers. And they, one of the shows that's going to be coming out this year is Paw Patrol. There's going to be a Paw Patrol podcast, which I don't know if you've your kids like Paw Patrol, and like there's like the buttons with the book. And now I know that my son Asher is going to love it, and it is going to be wonderful for me to be like, listen to this podcast, play with these toys, and this is an activity for a period of time that I can maybe do some work while you're enjoying Paw Patrol.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I think it's like, it's so much better than screen time. You know, I mean, cause they listen, they have a lot of takeaways from like kids YouTube and all of that. But if there was something a little bit more interactive by listening to a podcast as well, like, love that.
I know. I'm super excited for it. So
you and Asher need to start one.
Yeah, with all the time we have. do that. I have to. I'm one of those people, and I imagine you are too, actually. Maybe some of our listeners as well, where we get really excited by an idea and then we want to do everything.
Yeah, I go all in pretty hard, no matter what it takes. So recently I decided, I was like, how else can I, again, it goes back to that mindset of like, how else do I get in front of self or women that like my, with like my podcast, or how else can I help them? How else can I be of benefit to them? So I launched Self-Made Sister Careers, and I was like, I'll find career opportunities. I mean, there's so many remote opportunities, but there's also a lot of women that have been laid off this year, but need remote opportunities because their kids are doing virtual school. So one night I was up till 4:30 in the morning. I had the idea. I just stayed up all night doing research and searching for jobs and doing like the back end and the legwork of finding these companies that were looking for, you know, remote opportunities, and then launched it the next day. Like, it was like, what am I doing?
Dang. I was going to ask you about that. Do you know, are people using it? Are people coming to Self-Made Sister and looking at the career opportunities that you're sharing?
Yeah. I mean, I have not received any like personal feedback, but my web stats are through the roof on my careers page. So in that sense, it's like, if I can connect you with a great opportunity to even apply, like I feel like I'm doing something of service for women. But it's only career opportunities with Self-Made Sister like led or founded companies. And I've received feedback from the companies of the jobs I've posted saying, thank you so much. We really appreciate someone for this position. So I think there's more to grow in that area, but as someone that has worked remote for 10 years, I know the benefits of working remote, and it is really nice to have that. And I want to be able to connect more women with those opportunities as well. So, yeah, we'll see. But it was one of those things where I had the idea in the shower that morning. By 4:30 in the morning that same day, it was on my website and launched.
Yeah. And it looks beautiful.
Well, thank you. I mean, it needs to be tweaked a little bit, but yeah, I just do it.
Still not perfect, but no, it looks great.
Thank you. It's more of like what it serves and what it provides people that I hope connects them with a great opportunity. And, you know, hopefully turning that into something more and more opportunities and diverse opportunities and, you know, people reaching out to post opportunities. So, we'll see.
Yeah. And something else I want to talk about, I wrote like a list of things that I love that you're doing, and I would love to break it down for people. So you are also doing takeovers. So Self-Made Sister takeovers, you're bringing on people you interview to kind of do a day in the life.
Yeah. So it's both people I've interviewed and women I haven't. It's something that I wanted to do on Thursdays, because kind of like by the end of the week, it's like, okay, what could I do that was fun, you know, that would engage with other women? The response I received from that has been awesome. The engagement has been great. People stay with the whole Instagram story for the whole day. There's very little drop off in terms of following the Instagram stories, but I think everyone's just nosy. I am. I'm like, what do you do? What does your morning look like? How do you fit that in? How are you as a mom doing virtual learning? What do you eat for lunch? Like all of it, right? We're all nosy. I mean, that's social media in general. And so it's like, well, why not do a day in the life of either my guests or other women and show behind the scenes of what their days look like? So next week I've got an owner of a dry bar. She's going to show a day in her life as an owner of a dry bar. And especially right now with COVID, precautions that they've taken, what it looks like to own a dry bar right now. So it's all been very different. Everyone's different and their days are different, but I think we all want to know what happens behind the scenes.
I totally look at people's like snacks. How do they manage snacks for themselves and for their kids? And just when it comes to the day, when does the coffee stop and when does the wine start?
Like, yeah. Earlier and earlier every day.
Yes. when I really enjoy those things. So those are some things that I see that you're doing. So you said Pinterest has been a place where you've seen a ton of new downloads for you.
Yeah.
And mentioned that you actually got that from a different episode that you you launched or you shared with people. So what are you doing every week to post on Pinterest? What does that look like?
Anything I post on Instagram, I post on Pinterest under my podcast board. Always linking it back to my website. My episodes page on my website, and it's become my second Instagram. So anything I post on Instagram, I post on Pinterest, but I almost think that like the engagement with Pinterest is, I know my engagement with Pinterest is higher. So just anything you post on Instagram, post on, make a board for your podcast or your business with some pretty content and post it there too.
So how do you do this? So do you schedule a time each week to create your graphics and then to schedule them to go out on Instagram and on Pinterest?
I usually create my images the night before. So I kind of have a plan each day on my calendar. I kind of say sometimes it's organic. Sometimes it's well, what's happening today? What's relevant? What is something fun to share? Sometimes it can be on the fly, but I try to have a plan of what I want to post. And I think that that's a big key takeaway that I've received too, is put something out there each day, even when you don't feel creative. And even when you don't feel motivated, even if you just even say that, be honest, don't try to make everything so perfect and photo worthy, I guess. I think that that's the thing with Instagram, is we've gotten used to everything being so perfect. And it's I am not, that's not me. So what is me? Usually the night before, I just kind of create what I'm going to post the next day. I think that's what I love about podcasting, right? It's there's no right or wrong. There's no, to be an influencer or even some other areas, even to run a business, there is kind of a guideline of what you should do and not do. But with podcasting, it's it's yours. There is no right or wrong. It's so unique to you. So it's you can't mess it up. Right.
It is your journey.
It is.
And I would make whatever you're podcasting about something you're really passionate about.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And what, really asking yourself, what content are you going to provide a listener that's relevant and a takeaway? What is it that you're going to talk about? Just to get on the, on a mic every day and chat, what is it that will tune people in to listen to you each day, each week, every other week? I think that's the hardest part with podcasting. Otherwise, doesn't have to be perfect. You can do it from your bathroom. I thought it was so funny, the conversation you had with your husband about that.
I was thinking of you, Anna.
I know the acoustics. I was like, oh, the acoustics in the bathroom actually are good. I tell you, that's where some of the best podcasts are born.
Do you still record in your bathroom?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I love it in there. I think that's why my daughter calls it the potty cast.
Ah, makes sense. You just got your wine in the bathroom.
Uh-huh. Yep. I prop it up on my sink.
I was going to say, is your laptop on your toilet?
Yeah. I don't record my interviews in my bathroom. I usually do that in my office. But for any voiceovers or intros, outros, I do all of that from the bathroom. Yeah. Some of the best female podcasters, and reading about their journey, a lot of them will still record on their bed or on their bedroom floor. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be a recording studio. It doesn't. I've had many people ask me that, well, where do you record? It's anywhere. Anywhere. So it doesn't have to be this big investment of space and equipment and all of that. 'Cause I'm here to tell you, I don't have any of that. I have a bathroom. We all have that.
Hopefully. So I'm looking here. I have some audience questions. These questions are from Heather Childs, and she asks, how has your experience working with a company that started with $500 and is now worth more than Beyonce changed the way you view entrepreneurship?
You know, I would say being part of this brand and the growth that we've had, it has shown me that like you have to be nimble and like it's, you have to think outside the box and you have to be scrappy. I mean, I think that we have used that word even as a billion-dollar business this year. We are scrappy. Like we will try something. We will throw something at the wall to see what sticks. I mean, it really is like, I don't think it's as like buttoned up as people would think. But I really do think working for Kendra Scott and how I view entrepreneurship now is to lead with your heart. I can say that wholeheartedly that as a company that's been founded on philanthropy and giving back, that has been our most important attribute to getting us as a retail brand through COVID and on the other side. I mean, we're not on the other side, but I mean, at least with our stores back open and people are out shopping again, but having philanthropy as our North Star through it all has, even from the time Kendra started the company, has been pivotal in her success. So, you know, I know that that's probably just like my viewpoint working for a company that is so philanthropic, but it's so true. I mean, you get what you give. And so when you give back to your community in the most genuine way and use your business as a way to give back, people are going to support you wholeheartedly for what you do for them. So I think that's really changed my view in being a company that puts their money where their mouth is when they say they give back to the community.
Well, I also see you using these same techniques with your podcast. Like you are constantly giving back to your community with the careers page, with, you know, support my guests. You have a tab on your website, support my guests. Like you continually are supporting your community and your guests. And now with these takeovers, everything is actually like, now that I'm thinking about it, you're giving.
It doesn't have to be in the form of money, right? Like, it's like, how do you give back? How do you say thank you? How do you show your gratitude? How do you like continue to propel them and share their mission even after their episode airs? Absolutely. I think like whatever I can do to help them, whether it's introduce them to someone else or provide a donation to something that's really important to them. From a Kendra Scott perspective, I mean, my career and my podcast are very intertwined, but what matters to you matters to me. I mean, that's our mantra at Kendra Scott, but that's also my personal mantra as well. So as an entrepreneur, you have such an advantage to do that and to use your business or your podcast or whatever that is for the greater good. And you can't lose when you do that. So I've seen it firsthand. Like I've totally, when Kendra did not have anything to give except product before she opened her first store, when she did open that first store, she had a line wrapped around the corner of people coming out to support her for all the donations she had given them. So we've taken that same mentality as we've grown the business.
That's awesome. I feel, God.
Yeah, I love it. I love giving back.
Why does my heart hurt somehow? It feels bigger.
I know. There's just certain things where it's like, ugh, like you just figure it out. I mean, I delivered 75 gifts this morning to a children's hospital and it's like, I leave and it's just like, ugh, I'm so grateful I'm able to do that and work for a brand that allows me to do that. And maybe I can't deliver 75 gifts for my podcast. I can give back in another way. Right. So, I have an episode coming up in October for this amazing group called the Cancer Cartel and to share these women's stories to hopefully help with donations and things that they're looking for. So using my podcast to share stories of, you know, philanthropists that maybe I can help them fundraise. Maybe I can help them connect with more supporters. Whatever that looks like, I'm in.
Yeah. Awesome. Here's another question from Heather. She asks, what advice do you give to listeners who have a dream to start their own business or podcast, but struggle with self-doubt or fear of failure?
Oh, preach, girl, preach. I think that's all of us, right? Like, I don't know one person. I've not talked to one person that is like, I was terrified, or I was scared that I wouldn't know what I was doing, or I was scared to fail. One thing that has really changed my mindset though with failure through the podcast is there's no failures. It's just a learning lesson. Like, you grow from it. For many of my guests, like, quote unquote failure is what led them to where they're at today. They're like, thank God that happened, because I learned something from it, or to change my course, or then I started my business, or whatever that is. It's like, I don't look at anything like a failure. I think it is very much like just a shift, in your path. But, one thing that I've just learned is just to do it. I mean, you just put one foot in front of the other. I mean, each day do a little bit more. Like I said in the beginning, I was like, if I can connect with two people a day, two people, like, that's it. Like, that, it has to start small. Like, I think we get so caught up in the comparison game of, as a beginner to someone else that's been doing it for 10 years. Like, you can't do that. Even though it's so easy to do that, that's where your self-doubt and your fear of failure comes in, because you're like, I could never be that person, or I could never have a business like that. It's like, well, they put in the time, they put in the work. What sets you apart from them? Nothing, nothing. Like, so I think out of everyone I've talked to, what sets them apart is they just did it. They took the steps, they saved up money, or they like started small, or they put themselves out there in a way that maybe felt uncomfortable. I think something shocking to me is I think I said it earlier, but I was always afraid that people were going to say no. Everyone I always reach out to was going to say no. They didn't want to be on my podcast. And I have not had one person say no that I've reached out to. And if anything, they respond within the day. Like, I've been blown away by how generous and kind and willing people are to say yes to a complete stranger. And it in turn has made me want to be more of a yes person to people that reach out to me, that I don't know. Like, how can I help you? Because these women like have helped me. So I'd say just get yourself out of that comfort zone. If it's uncomfortable, then it's worth doing. If it's comfortable, you're never going to like leave that little box you've put yourself in.
I agree with everything you've said. And I would also add that a support system is amazing. Anytime that I'm personally dealing with self-doubt or feel like I'm failing or something, which is painful, right? Like, especially if you're a perfectionist.
It is.
And then you fail at something and you just feel crummy. It is to remind yourself, one, that this is a way forward. If this didn't work, this next thing will. And just to kind of keep pushing yourself forward, like you said, right. Just like keep doing it, keep going. But then having people in your life who are like, mm-hmm. No, you're awesome. You've got this. Like, just keep having a wonderful support system, a wonderful community around you. And even a coach sometimes can make a difference in like where you're going. I've had to reach out to like business coaches as I've continued to build my business, and I'm like, what am I doing? I need help. Like, I don't know.
I think that's so key though, is to know when to ask for help. You cannot figure it all out on your own. Like I said, I mean, I found you because I typed in podcast coach in LinkedIn, and you were, I was like, oh, she looks nice. She looks cute. I'll reach out to her. Like, that is because I was like, where do I look for a podcast coach? Like, I didn't know where to start. So I was like, LinkedIn, right? Like, I mean, it's a business resource. And that's how I found you. And like, I would have never been able to get my podcast off the ground had it not been for your help. And I think that that's key. You have to know when to ask for help and to reach out to people that have figured it out. I think that's, again, you can't, Google does a lot. You can Google just about anything, but at some point you may need to know when to like ask for guidance.
Get some FaceTime. And also, it can heal you right now.
Yeah. 100%.
Just having some one-on-one FaceTime.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to talk to you about data review. You mentioned this a few times. how much time a week do you spend, or even a month, looking at your data? When I say data, I mean like your website data or your data on Pinterest or your data on Instagram. How important is it for people out there who might be data phobic to maybe make some time to look at it?
I say I probably look at it a couple times a month, but to me, like, it's not as important. I think that I'm more like into connections. Like, how do I build these connections? Because then the data will come, is kind of how I view it. And I think data can also like be and like almost like a deterrent for people, like, because you're not going to start off with like killer data, right? You're not going to start off with like an episode that has 1,000 downloads. Like, you're not going to start off. So sometimes when you view that, it can be kind of just like a wah-wah. But at the same time, like, if you just kind of focus on the things you can control, the data will come. So I'd say a couple times a month. I will say that I share the Pinterest data because I've been blown away by that. I mean, to go from 9,000 monthly viewers to 33,000, like, that's, and I didn't pay a thing. Like, it's not like I paid anything for it. That's just all organic searches. So I share that just because I think it's an untapped marketing strategy for people that are trying to get their products or services or podcasts out in front of, you know, new users or new listeners. So data's good, but it can also just be like bad too.
That's it's good and bad. Okay. I am not a data-driven person, but as someone who is now in the podcasting industry, it's so important for me to look at this, take some time, put it in a spreadsheet, and just give myself something to work towards, or like at least an attainable goal. But it's helpful. At least it has been helpful for me, and also is something that I've like super didn't like doing at first, but I'm getting better at it.
Yeah. And make them realistic. I mean, each month, like, my goal for that has been like every month I want to have more downloads than the month before. Like, it could be 5, it could be 500. Like, I think through all of this, everyone can probably figure out I'm pretty gray. I'm pretty like loosey goosey. I'm not super black and white. I'm not too regimented. I'm not this like, it's just, you kind of wing it sometimes. Right. So, yeah, I think that that's been a goal too, is just each month I want more engagement, more downloads. And that kind of goes back to the connect with 2 people a day, connect with more people, or connect with 5, or maybe, you know, yesterday I connected with like 12, like, that was a winning day, you know? So don't set these goals that are so far out of reach that then makes it feel like you can't attain it either.
And if you miss them, you'll make new ones.
Yeah. That's that pivot word, right? Everything's pivoting this year.
And it's okay. And it's exciting and scary.
I know, but props to you. You're doing it. You're a self-made sister too. You are following your dreams and putting one foot in front of the other and realizing areas that you need help. And then every day working towards that goal. And that's, I mean, there's nothing more successful in my mind than that, is to put it, you know, to each day move closer and closer to what your hope and your dreams are. So right back at you.
Gosh, I love your brand. I love you. You're so great.
You are too. Thank you.
If you guys want to check out Anna and her podcast, make sure to go to selfmadesister.com. And of course, I'll put that in our show notes as well. Thanks again, Anna, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I so appreciate it. Like, what you're doing is awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find this podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and more. If you would like to email me directly, feel free to reach out at podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. And of course, you can head to my website, christine-o'donnell.com, for frequently asked questions, the latest on what's going on in the industry, and I look forward to seeing you over there.